Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
Kanye West changed his mind about Jewish people because he loves Jonah Hill. Conspiracy theorists are freaking out about UK's Armageddon alert. It's a tough pill, but Brian Hesher McLean and Adam Ruckus Clark are gonna tell us what to do on Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Bill Gates declares it's the age of AI in a 7-page missive. Panera Bread debuts frictionless palm payment systems to make us more submissive. Brian Hesher McLean and Adam Ruckus Clark are gonna tell us what to do on Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. What's going on, fellas? Brian Hesher McLean and Adam Ruckus Clark, how are you guys doing tonight?
What's up, man?
Hey, it's good to hear you, dude. Great song. I don't know what to do. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Well, you got to tell us what to do, because if you don't, Hesher, that means my whole song was a lie. You'd be making a liar out of me. So you got to tell us what to do. I mean, I think we got to start with, well, first of all, let me say what's up to Ruckus, too. What's up, Ruckus?
What's up, Joseph? How are you doing, brother?
Fantastic. Saturday night. It's a hootenanny, and I got my bros on the show, so I'm excited. This is hysterical, this Kanye West thing.
It wouldn't be Ruckus and Joseph if we didn't have a Kanye story, right? This one actually comes courtesy of Hesher, so.
And it's in RT. It comes from RT, yeah. So apparently, I'll just break it down a little bit. I read it quickly, that he changed his mind about Jewish people because he watched 21 Jump Street and Jonah Hill's, very likable. Please explain this to me, Hesher. What's going on here?
All right. Well, first off, I got to tip my hat to Ruckus, because like a week and a half ago, it was a weekend, and he said, what do you think is going to happen this week? And we started throwing stuff out there. We actually threw our guesses out there, and he says, it's got to be a Kanye thing. And I was like, I don't know, man. I think Kanye's gone dark. And it didn't happen in 7 days, but it happened in like 11 or 12 days. So Ruckus totally called this. And as far as the story goes, a movie is all it takes. I mean, yay. Haven't you seen Frisco Kid from 1980 or Seinfeld or like all
or
this
Bob
other
Dylan, you know, Bob Dylan, Leonard right. Cohen, Lou Dude, Reed. I mean,
you know, endless.
The list of
endless.
Amazing Jews is right? endless. Thank you very much, dude. I mean, so all was... due respect to the Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill is very likable. I will say, I am also a fan. I like his transformation into kind of leading man energy and all the rest of it. I'm a fan. But I mean, huh?
Here's the other thing I was thinking, dude. So a fun movie outweighs the claims you made about your lawyers, your promoters, your managers, your trainers, all these people. You know, you were wronged by various groups of people from which you saw an ideological or religious or racial commonality, depending on your perspective. And you point that out. You stand behind the financial ramifications of pointing that out to the tune of billions of lost dollars, and then you take it all back because of enjoying a movie by a stoned Canadian Jewish actor? I don't get it, man.
Dude, 21 Jump Street as well. I mean, because if we even just look at Jonah Hill's cinema purview, or what's the word? I can't think of it off the top of my head, but
like his filmography, perhaps
his over. Yeah, okay. That's right. The word I was looking for. You know, I mean, he's done some really great movies. You know, Wolf of Wall Street, you know, I don't know, Scorsese won recently, all kinds.
Pineapple Express, bro.
Yeah.
You're having trouble naming all the movies he's in, aren't you? See,
yeah.
He's not that big.
Yeah. But interestingly, though, is Ruckus calling this out, because that sends my brain into black pill realms and what do you call it, that we're in a computer program. What's that called again? The
simulation theory?
Simulation. If Ruckus is pinpointing that, the Matrix simulation, we're in a computer program. If Ruckus is calling this out, you know, 10 days before it happens, that means he's got his finger on some kind of pulse. What gives, Ruckus? How did you know this was going to happen?
I just brought up Matrix, right? You remember the scene where, like, they saw the black cat walking by the window twice or something, the doorway?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, right. Oh, deja vu. And everyone else, like, freezes and gets all freaked out, because that's a sign. You caught, like, the pattern, the glitch in the Matrix. Ye is the pattern. He's the glitch in the Matrix. See? Either that or he's just a sort of weird AI bot. I mean, come on. It's just like you and I, how many weeks straight in a row we were on, like, every day talking about Ye, right? Like, how long?
Ye and Balenciaga for like 2 months.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
That's true.
It was like all
it was
the time,
too long.
Right?
I apologize. Yeah. Can I apologize?
No, it's okay.
We're sorry.
I was wrong.
No,
I'm sorry.
The point is, though, that, like, the whole world takes everything he was doing and saying, like, this was to heart, this is serious, this guy, oh, he hates all the Jews, and everyone was speculating. You remember we were like, oh, well, just because he's saying this, it doesn't mean that he hates all the Jews. Well, no, apparently, by his own admission, he was literally hating on all the Jews. And now he doesn't anymore because he loves Jonas Hill. So it's okay, people. So welcome to clown world.
It is clown world, and it's. Oh, go ahead, Hesher. Sorry.
I was just wondering, real quick. Do you think he'll get his Yeezy campaign back? Do you think Adidas will invite him back because he likes Jonah Hill?
You know, that's the other black pill aspect of this. It's such a ridiculous explanation. It almost feels like him entering a humiliation ritual of some sort of description or something. It's like. It is weird. It just, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's so confusing. It's baffling. It really does seem simulation-esque, you know, because of how ridiculous it is, because it's just so head scratcher and, you know, it's just bonkers is the word for it.
It really is.
The celebrity. Aren't there's a number of these people, right, Hesher, that are just always, like, weird. Isn't the candle lady one of them? She was all weird about Obama.
Oh, Paltrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her, she's very strange. Al Roker, very strange. No, he's not. Well, he's sort of an actor. And then you got Britney Spears. It just makes you wonder about these theories going around about MK Ultra techniques and stuff like that. And you know, a lot of these people went to the same mental health facility at Stanford. You know, there's a pretty tight record of that. You know, you can look into, like, it just degrades from there, though. It's like such a media cesspit. You end up there and then it's like you're a hop, skipping, a jumping away from the clone factory and Dallas Goldbug's website where everybody's been replaced and all this kind of stuff, you know. And once you're in there, you're in the conspiracy candy store, and you may, like, come across something that's actually real, but it's sitting there next to half a dozen fake things.
It also begs the question, who's got time to watch 21 Jump Street? You know what I mean? Like, dude.
One of his worst ones, dude. That movie's awful.
I'm actually probably going to rewatch it now. I mean, I'm admitting that I did watch it in the past. I think I did. What was the Gwyneth Paltrow candle lady Obama thing? What's that?
She was like obsessed with Obama. She was like, I mean, like mega obsessed. And she would say weird airhead things and be like infatuated with him. But she would say just the dumbest things, you know. So she's not the person who I would go to be like, hey, listen, I'm an uninformed voter. Who do I want to go to learn about politics? Let's go to Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, like, yay is not the person you go to learn everything about Jews and what happened with Hitler. See, but these right. people become the spokespeople somehow. They get put out on the center stage in the public. And watching a silly movie with Jonah Hill in 21 Jump Street, what if Kanye had seen Schindler's List? What would he have thought of that? I mean, would that have affected him? Maybe on a deeper personal level. I saw Schindler's List when I was in high school when it came out in a theater. A whole bunch of us high school students loaded up in a bus to go watch it. Bunch of rowdy kids making noise on the way there. And on the way back, not a peep from a single one of us, dude. That was the quietest bus ride I've ever been on in my life after watching that movie.
Yeah, I bet. As far as Gwyneth goes.
Oh, go ahead, Asher.
Yeah, as far as Gwyneth goes, she does gush about him, and she actually introduced him to several hundred supporters in her backyard of her Brentwood neighborhood Los Angeles home. And she hosted a reception and a dinner benefiting Democratic Party and fundraising for Obama. And let's see, tickets to her reception at her home started at $1,000, and dinner tickets were a minimum of $15,000. So that's before drinks. So that means these people are spending $30,000 a head. And Julie Roberts and Bradley Whitford were among those attending. So she is a big suck up and donor to the Democratic Party.
Well, that part's not surprising. And still, though, all that just pales in comparison to this Kanye West thing. I mean, it does. What is this? What's the response going to be for this? I mean, is this a brand new story?
Yeah, it's brand new.
This is brand new. So what's the predictions for response from this? I mean, do people soften up to you mentioned, does he get his Yeezys back? I don't think that's going to happen, but does he win some hearts back for this, or does he get just called bat bleep bonkers over this? I mean, is this more evidence against his sanity, or does he start winning people back?
I think it depends what he follows it up with. This is just sort of a blip, you know. And if he can parlay like what he did, I mean, could you imagine, dude? If that was like not Ye that did that, someone else went on Alex Jones's show with Nick Fuentes, running around with Milo for a minute and all this crazy stuff and saying all these things. And then what? He's going to get his big contracts back? He's going to get a big record contract? He's going to get an acting gig? Or is he going to be the host of The Voice now? I mean, just because of this? I don't know. It's really, really strange. I want to know. I mean, he's either like a genius at being a cultural goon, you know, just like a splattering of WTF on the fabric of the media zeitgeist, or he's an MK Ultra drone, like just gone rogue or something. I don't know, man. I can't figure it out.
You know, that's really interesting the way you just frame that, because that's what I was picking up on, is he creates these really like absurd, it's almost like absurdist art. You know, you brought up the Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, his whole get up there. That was absurdist, you know, never mind the content of what he was saying and the controversy around it, just the absurdity of it. And then, yeah, the content of it. Yeah, just that's off the charts. But now this, it's in a way equally absurdist. And it's just referencing these pop culture things. On some level, it is so bananas that it does hit a certain segment of your consciousness that that he kind of owns. I don't know. It's just really weird. What do you think, Ruckus?
Is he an absurdist
genius? What?
No, I think the guy's just insane, unfortunately. I've told you that a number of times. I've been quite concerned for his health lately, so I'm happy to see him. I hope it's the real him. There's always you could go with the age old conspiracy theory. Maybe it's a fake. It's a fake Ye. That's not really him. Ye would never say that. He hates Jewish people. Why on earth would he like Jonah Hill? And goodness gracious, 21 Jump Street. Come on. Yeah, so we'll probably hear some of that. Maybe him and Candace Owens will. They're just, you know, getting pushed back. They're not relevant anymore. Maybe they'll come out together and wear shirts that say Jewish Lives Matter. or my
that
ultimate
would
prediction.
Be good.
Yeah, my ultimate prediction. So I hope you're sitting down for this. Ye is going to convert to Judaism. You heard
wow.
it here first.
I'll definitely owe you 10 million Sheba or 45 donuts if that happens. You know, I got to go to a break, but here's something to ponder on the break time and get your reaction when we come back. But imagine, if you will, you're Jonah Hill right now. Just try to be Jonah Hill with this story coming out and the sort of energy that's going to be. Let me get your response right when we get back after these words on TNT.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
The U.S. is now doing a study to see the feasibility of how the U.S. government could possibly guarantee all $18 trillion of bank deposits in the United States of America. This is not good. This is not good. I personally think this is the beginning of the end. It happens when government moves in to secure the interests of the bankers and not the people. You know, you might think that securing $18 trillion of U.S. deposits is the right thing to do and protecting the little guy and all the rest. That's not the little guy. All the heavy lifting is for the 1%. There you go. Any questions, class? Any further questions? That's how you read right through the headlines and do it quick.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of hosts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
Are you sitting comfortably?
Oh, yes, yes.
Then I'll begin.
Even when you're just sitting around, we're rocking the talk.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with TNT's own Brian Hesher McClain and Adam Ruckus Clark. We're just talking about Kanye West, loving Jewish people all because of Jonah Hill and his affable personality. But imagine if you are Jonah Hill under this cultural firestorm that Ye has just decided to fire into the cosmos. What would you do? What would your reaction be? How would you feel about that? What do you think, Hesher? Can you imagine being Jonah Hill right now?
Well, I think it says in there that he has not yet commented on his performance having such a profound effect on West. So first thing I will point out is he's doing exactly what I would do. I would sit and think about that for a minute before saying anything. What would he be feeling? I don't know. If I were Jonah Hill, I would be wondering, like, yay, why don't you watch one of my good movies like Superbad or Wolf of Wall Street? I would not go Will Smith on him and slap him. That might not work out well, but I might be thinking, keep my name the F out your mouth. I don't know.
Yeah.
He may not be stoked to be part of this after everything that's gone down. But on the other hand, seeing as he is a Jewish guy, maybe he'll take it as an olive branch. And I guess that would be another tactic. You could be, Maybe I would be super kind about it and just be like, hey, man, are you okay? Maybe start right there. Can we have a coffee? Are you all right? Something like that.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, it is actually like an opportunity there on some level. His response will be really interesting. I'm sure he's going to talk it over with his team and probably choose his words wisely. What do you think, Ruckus? Can you imagine being Jonah Hill in this time?
Well, I think I just went to his Twitter account, and he says that Disney has reached out to them both. They want Kanye to play Jonah Hill in a biopic film. So just kidding. if I was Jonah Hill, yeah, he's probably got a guy or a gal. I don't know. We'll just loosely refer to, you got somebody that you're going to call. He's got somebody that he's called. As soon as he heard this news, whoever or whatever this person is in Jonah Hill's life, that person got a phone call like before anybody else did. Before wife or his girlfriend or his family, you know, anybody, it was his agent or his lawyer or his publicist. There's somebody close to him that like, or he probably got the call. As soon as he was finished, his eyeballs was finished reading the news, he went to go make the call and he got the call, you know. So these people have people to take care of situations like this, you know what I mean? But I can't imagine what he thinks. If he didn't have somebody to do the thinking for him, I texted Hesher. I was like the little awkward monkey, you know, that meme where it's just like the monkey kind of looking sideways, like what's going on. I imagine that's how he feels right now. Awkward.
I imagine there's a lot of people rewatching 21 Jump Street right now to just try to figure out what's going on. Talk about, it's going to become like, you know, the Pink Floyd, The Wall, and you mix it with, I forget something. Oh, The Wizard of Oz. You know, there's probably going to end up
with a Kanye
like
album.
If you mix Jump Street with
808s and a heartbreak or something.
Yeah, 808s and heartbeat. You get the secret to life. That's definitely inevitable. Anyway, moving on. Bill Gates declares the age of AI has begun in a 7-page missive. I just had Peter Arulian, who worked for Microsoft, on in the previous hour, and he was going on about the toxic work environment Bill Gates had created at Microsoft, said it was brutal, actually described it as very brutal. And we also went into AI a bit. So Bill Gates is saying that, that this all reminds him of computers first starting out in 1980. And that is kind of terrifying when you think about it. The future of AI could become overwhelming very quickly. I didn't read his 7-page missive. Did either of you guys?
All 7.
You did. What's the breakdown, Hesher?
Well, Mr. Gates, Gil Bates, I noticed in there that he's highlighting sectors to watch, basically. And the sectors that he's highlighting are health, education, productivity, and oddly enough, something that we've been talking about, the personal assistant, right? We've kind of been talking about this whole idea of Siri or Cortana or some issued personalized computer, you know, Star Trek style computer that you can call on to do various tasks or teach you various things or point you in various directions, whatever. So he's noted all those things, and it's too much to go through, but I did pull out a couple of parts that I thought you might be interested in. With regards to health, here's one thing that's in there. This is a quote. In addition to helping with care, AIs will dramatically accelerate the rate of medical breakthroughs. The amount of data in biology is very large, and it's hard for humans to keep track of all the ways that complex biological systems work. There is already software that can look at this data, infer what the pathways are, search for targets on pathogens, and design drugs accordingly. Some companies are working on cancer drugs that were developed this way. So I thought that that was kind of one of the telling paragraphs in there that he wrote about health, because what he's alluding to, if my research is sound, and I believe it is that he's talking about the computer modeling that they use to design their PCR tests with. And, you know, they've never found in, they've never shown or isolated any of these combinations of RNA and, you know, other stuff that they look for in the PCR test. So, you know, we're seeing basically what they're setting up. If you're paying attention, you'll see that what they're setting up is a system where they can just say, oh, well, this year our computer modelists are telling us that this variant of this pathogen is going to be a thing. So boom, lickety split. Now we got some mRNA technology. We got some AI looking at, you know, the genome on this sucker, and it'll all happen basically automagically. Right. And they can just kind of, you know, run little plus ones on, you know, various strands of, you know, exomes or whatever they're looking for in the PCR test. So I think that that particular paragraph is pretty telling about how they want to automate this facet of the pandemic industrial complex.
Telling how so? Like, like with him, I'm always seeing, and especially if the word health is there, or like with health, with him, that just sounds like with my will to control and condemn humanity to endless suffering and misery. Yeah. That's how I read that, the word health, if it's in a Bill Gates article. So yeah. Are you sort of like saying that, like that this is just going to be an implementation of massive control and nefarious activity?
I'm saying it's a blank check for big pharma, and it's a blank power check for governments that want to participate with WHO in their call outs for epidemics and pandemics, and that they'll be able to just make infinite new mRNA technologies that they sell as vaccines and, you know, peddle to people for various problems, many of which might be mRNA injuries from the very first round of shots. I don't know.
But, and I want to get Ruckus's take, but real quick, what's different though, if AI's doing the mRNA making or whatever, or they're doing the mRNA, and I'm putting air quotes around mRNA, not that it's not mRNA, but who knows what it is. In other words,
I don't think
any of us in this room trust that stuff anyway and think of it as anything else but just some weird poison thing. So like, do they really need an AI bot to make a version of that, or can't they just do that? And are people going to be more trusting if they think it's from AI? In other words, how is the AI going to get them more of the control that they want?
Yeah, well, you're right to point out that health doesn't mean health. When Bill Gates talks about it, it means eugenics, usually. And I think the big difference here is that this will do at minimum 20% of the work that humans would have to do almost instantaneously. Right. So from a bottom line perspective, it allows them to roll them out faster. And yeah, exactly.
Okay, I get it. Ruckus. Well, I mean, Ruckus, you haven't been a fan of AI since the day you were born. Before it was even invented, you hated it. So did you check out this missive, and how terrified are you now?
I didn't read the whole 7-page missive, but I read quite a number. I mean, at least 7 or 8 different articles, you know, breaking it down. About so it. I pretty much understand it. But, you know, I've read some of it. There was one section in there. I read the health section, but also there was the section before that about productivity and how all this stuff is going to be applied in the workplace. And I found that very interesting. And that is more believable to me. And I see some interesting stuff happening there. Maybe we could talk about that in just a second. Excuse me. But as far as this other stuff goes, the health, yeah, at first, you know, I am still in general frightened or concerned about where AI is taking us or where it could lead, especially like, you know, you look at Bill Gates, like comparing this to like, okay, the early stages of the computers in the 1980s.
Right.
That early with AI, holy crap, then yeah, science fiction can't even like guess where we're going to be in like 10 to 20 years from now, right? It's going to be frightening as all get out. But until then, it's not. It's not yet. It's just a joke. It's just like this. It's well, It's like they're just blowing smoke up people's bungholes, to be honest with you. I've been listening more and more and becoming more of a fan of Terry Wolf. He's featured very regularly, once a week, usually over on Hervory Moritz's show. He was also with me and Hesher on an episode of Boiler Room just a few weeks ago or a month ago now. And he believes his whole premise is that AI is just it's not intelligent. It's not going to take over the world. It's not like a demon. It's not like the Ouija board. It's not all these scary things that people are worried about. And he's more focused on noticing, like, what I should have been noticing from the get-go. It's other people. It's the media. It's people like Bill Gates that are propping it up and making us think it's like these things. So what's more important, gentlemen, when it comes to the health and the mRNA and the rolling out of more vaccines, the fact that the AI is actually helping and aiding and rushing these things out in a hurry and discovering all these things, or the fact that the public is being told that it is? Because, oh, look, oh, this vaccine is AI improved. Approved. It's like putting a label on the food that says this is USDA organic certified. You see what I mean? It's a marketing gimmick. I think it's going to be a way for them to sell the next pandemic, sell the next vaccine, and they don't even technically even need to use the technology. They just need to use the, hey, AI was involved. Oh, yeah, good for me. People are going to start worshiping the AI the way they worship the science. That's my personal opinion about it.
That's a pretty good point. Yeah, it could be a sell point, you know. But then again, you have a lot of people that are going to be AI resistant. So who knows the numbers there? I guess more people will sort of.
The same type of people who are already resistant against this type of stuff.
That's
my argument.
Yeah. And anyway, this guy, Terry Wolf, he should get a radio show or a podcast and call it Hungry Like the Wolf. Just that's a sidebar. I couldn't let that idea go. It's too good. I mean, theme music's already there. Anyway, yeah, here's another part in this Bill Gates article. It says that AIs that decide, you know, one of the dangers he warns people of is that AIs that decide to ignore their directives and create their own goals. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's the real nightmare scenario with AI, and I've said it before, but just that they you know, become conscious, become sentient, you know, that they start having their own motivations. I mean, that's the sort of dystopian movie script, right? And it's funny, these guys, like, because Musk kind of like pushes that fear thing out there too, and now Gates is doing it. I mean, I'm sure he's done it before, but the whole thing that they could become sentient, they could, you know, and at that point they, you know, would overpower us in a heartbeat if they actually had consciousness. But Bill Gates, his whole thing is anti-God in a way. Like, the sun isn't good enough even. Let me put clouds of weird dust over it. I can control it. I can do better than God. Your immune system isn't good enough. Let me inject you with a bunch of weird stuff. The food you would normally eat if you were out there in the wilderness as a man isn't good enough. I'm going to make you oil burgers. You know what I mean? Like, everything this guy does is, I don't believe in God, or he's like a worshiper of the mind over the soul, or AKA Satan over God. You know what I mean? He shows his hand at every turn. And so for him to disrespect being sentient or having the God consciousness, or consciousness, which is of God in my view, you know, that's another way of him saying that I don't respect consciousness on some level. I think, am I over reading that, or what do you think?
No, I mean, he is one of those people that you read about in sci-fi books and novels and movies that just thinks, you know, I own the science and I'm going to save the world, and never mind, I will lie, I will cheat, I will steal, I will be a monopoly man, I will do the government's bidding, I will depopulate, I will experiment upon, I will destroy food chains, I will destroy ecosystems, I will corrupt computers. You know, this is the guy that made computer viruses and then sold you software to clean up the viruses. Now he's just doing it inside your bodies. you know? Right. So yeah, this guy is a madman. He's an insane person. You know, he's like a George Soros. It's just like, why the hell do we let these people run around and wield billions and billions of dollars that lead to, you know, real life problems, like widespread real life problems. The guy is absolutely insane, and he's in there, you know, he practically is the devil in a pastel cardigan. You know what I mean? He's in there pushing the same thing in the risks section. He says, then there's the possibility that AIs will run out of control. Could a machine decide that that humans are a threat, conclude that its interests are different from ours, or simply stop caring about us? Possibly, but the problem is no more urgent today than it was before the AI developments of the past few months. So he like does this softball pitch on the dystopia there. He's like, yeah, Skynet could happen, but you know, it might. I don't know. You know, it's so stupid, you know. And the thing is, man, they really could use this stuff to cause a cyber polygon event, and they really could blame it on AI going out of control, or AI doing this or AI doing that. But that's a false flag. I'm with Ruckus. If something like that happens, if the bank system goes down, or if everybody's AI, like, I don't know, smoke comes out of your butt and your computer at the same time, whatever it does, you know, it's a plan. It's a planned operation, and it will explain the forced integration of ChatGPT into like our lives.
Well, let me go to a quick break. Forced integration of ChatGPT into our lives, I think, has already arrived. I want to find out from you guys when we come back if you really think AI has the possibility of becoming sentient, though. I think that's the million-dollar question, and I want to get your take. I've said my two cents on that, but we'll be right back. We'll hear from Ruckus first when we come back after these words on TNT.
President Biden warns we're all damned unless we follow his green policies.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
President Joe Biden gave his climate views, appropriately enough, on the Comedy Channel. Here is a portion of the interview.
If we don't keep the temperature from going above 1.5 degrees Celsius raised, then we're in real trouble. That whole generation is damned. I mean, that's not hyperbole.
First off, that is hyperbole. Second off, no one is damned. The only way we are damned is if we follow the climate agenda and shut down modern society to do absolutely nothing for the climate. Second, the temperature goal of 1.5 C or 2 degrees C were revealed in the ClimateGate emails to be, quote, pulled out of thin air and with no scientific basis. It was called clearly a, quote, political goal. Dr. Roger Pilkey Jr. said it's more grounded in political aspirations than science, and there's essentially no science behind these temperature goals. Yet, we will face the wrath of Mother Nature if we don't follow. Let's end medieval superstition and return to science. Reject the net zero climate agenda. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
For so many reasons, access to healthcare remains an enormous challenge for millions of children around the country. Imagine trying to manage a child's asthma while living in an urban homeless shelter, or growing up in a rural community where the nearest pediatrician is 3 hours away. Children's Health Fund has an innovative solution, a doctor's office on wheels that is actually a fully equipped mobile medical clinic. We go where kids need us most.
Visit childrenshealthfund.org to find out more.
A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
This is all evidence that the Biden economic plan is actually working.
No.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. I'm here with Adam Ruckus Clark and Brian Hesher McClain. So real quick, because I want to go into this conspiracy theorists are freaking out about the UK's Armageddon alert story. That's real interesting. But Ruckus, do you think AI is ever going to achieve consciousness of its own, be anything more than just an amazing pre-programmed sort of Google on steroids and acid, or is it going to become conscious?
Well, you keep asking a different question. Before the break, you asked about if it could be sentient, and now we're talking about whether it could be conscious. Or maybe you're talking about whether it could be self-aware, perhaps. Maybe what we're really speaking upon is
those are all
sapiens.
The same thing to me.
Well, exactly. So my answer is yes and no. Okay. So
we'll go
yeah,
deeper.
Yeah, I hope you're going to get the big black pill now. You asked for it. All right. So sentience in particular is what I believe it is incapable of doing. However, I could easily make an argument for sapience, self-awareness, and even consciousness just based on definitions of these concepts, okay? Sapience might not be familiar to most people. It's just kind of another fancy word for wisdom. It's the ability to contemplate and act productively using knowledge, understanding, experience. Clearly, ChatGPT can do that, right? Absolutely. Self-awareness, of course, is the experience of one's own individually, okay? That one could be tricky to argue, okay? So I'm on the fence with that one, but I think it's possible. I would say that AI is certainly conscious. It's aware of internal and external existence. Otherwise, it wouldn't be able to function. Okay. Now, sentience is the ability, the capacity to experience feelings, emotions.
Right.
And I think it will never, ever, ever be able to do that. Thank God. And it's funny because that's one of the two things that sets us apart, human beings from animals, as far as I'm concerned, as well as now machines, other inanimate objects and things that they're trying to create, is our emotions, as well as what God gave us, which is the other thing that you missed in your list to what Mr. Antichrist Bill Gates seems to not like as well as some of these other ghouls that we deal with since the, you know, pandemic in particular. But they hate free will, Joseph. And I believe, luckily, that computers, AI machines will never have free will. And that's what is needed for a Skynet moment. So I think we're going to be safe.
Interesting. I love that breakdown you just did, too, because that really brought – that does deepen the question and makes you think even deeper about it. So thanks for that. Because it made me think, yeah, you're right, when you really get more exact about what those words mean – because it to feel or have emotions, that would be the danger, wouldn't it? Like, because then it would have a feeling about mankind. Like, I don't like mankind bad. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think, Hesher?
I think we need to look at the Gene Roddenberry principles here. I'm not sure on this. I'd have to ask one of my true Trekkie nerds out there, but I think the stories kind of stopped being his somewhere after Next Generation. And on Next Generation, you have Mr. Data. And Mr. Data's ultimate dream is to become sentient, is to be able to write music that is not, you know, already written, you know, be able create, to be able to procreate even. And they
Mr.
played
Data,
with that concept
behave,
all the way
Mr.
to
Data. Behave.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
That's right. Yeah, don't get freaky, Mr. Data.
Come but on, Mr. Data.
They played with that concept all the way to the end of that series. I don't know if anything changed there in the movies thereafter. I wasn't paying attention. But if you watch any current Star Trek stuff, they do the same thing that Star Wars does. And they mess with the artificial intelligence as something that is sentient. As you know what I mean? It's definitively what you're saying and what, you know, people that are scared of AI say, which is, you know, it's sentient and it's working at its own designs. But I'll agree with Ruckus with the caveat that never say never. You never know. We don't know where we're headed. And if I was a sentient robot or a sentient AI network of some sort and I looked at what these humans were doing on this planet, yeah. You don't even need to be sentient, right? Like, you just need to be able to do like a Mr. Spock level AI if you truly were autonomous and say, you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe we should save the planet. And these guys are dumping chemicals and having fires and wars and shooting depleted uranium at each other. Let's just shut them all down. Let's just turn them off. I mean, that could happen. That could be programmed in, though. We would probably never know. And unfortunately for the people, I think that people are so dumbed down mentally and emotionally and spiritually these days that to interact with a thing, it doesn't even need to be sentient anymore. So if it has those first three levels that you talked about, Ruckus, that's good enough to interact with, you know, 90% of the population out there and trick them into, you know, thinking that it's real, or, you know, further progressing them down the hill of like not being able to interact with real people or distinguish real people from fake ones.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, some people marry their sex dolls, you know. I just asked ChatGPT, are you sentient? It said, and it just responded, are you even sentient, bro? It got
are you serious?
No, I'm joking. It's a joke. I didn't know. All right. Conspiracy theorists are freaking out about the UK's Armageddon Alert, the testing of a new emergency alarm system that sends alerts to smartphones in cases of events such as extreme weather has got conspiracy theorists in the UK convinced that, you guessed it, it's part of a plot by the New World Order. This comes from Vice, and Vice is making fun of conspiracy theorists in this. But I guess the conspiracy theorists see it as an implementation of control. And, you know, I could see this as being a fear device. You know, if you have it in your smartphones, this Armageddon alert, they can just like hit it anytime they want to get you your endorphins going or your adrenaline up and into flight or fight. But what is this, Ruckus? What do you think? Conspiracy theorists are freaking out. Are they right or are they wrong?
This is interesting, dude. I'd probably be freaking out too if I was out there. This is like, this might sound strange to us here in America because we're already used to the emergency alert system, right? I guess they don't have that kind of thing going on out there.
We were born with it. Remember the TVs used to go like, yeah, that was weird, right? This is only
you know how that gets to you and excuse me, how that affects you and that noise. I heard the noise for this one that's going to go off on the phone, and I'm like, oh my God, this is frightening. This is scary. It's not a very pleasant sound. Your phone's going to vibrate, and you have to acknowledge this or you could face legal penalties.
Wow.
Is the way this is set up. So what's crazy to me about this is they're going to do this as a test, a rollout beta on, I think it's April 28th. There's a day where the government is going to call every single UK citizen's phone at once with this thing. So everybody's phone is going to go off. And I guess you have to acknowledge that you received it or you're in trouble or something like that. So, yeah, a lot of speculation about this. People are kind of scratching their head, concerned, probably because it's so new and it's weird to them. Like, why do they need to do this? So it's always funny that when as an outside observer, because to me, I think there's really, I'm like, so what, you know, I guess maybe I've already been indoctrinated into this kind of a concept, but to see a whole mass population faced with this and now people are like concerned and now they're getting labeled as conspiracy theorists just because they have questions, you know, it's funny to me.
What do you think, Hesher?
Well, maybe first off, this is from the dreaded vice.com, and they love this kind of stuff. They absolutely love this kind of stuff. The way they write these things is hilarious. But maybe people should be concerned. Remember in Hawaii in 2017, what happened? There was a mass alert that went out that said there was a thermonuclear warhead on the way.
Right.
I mean, that traumatized a whole bunch of people. So to make light of a system like that being in the hands of government is a little bit rude, you know, because some people had to make some really tough decisions on the fly when they thought they were about to be turned into a shadow, right? And then we also have the Amber Alert system here, which I think is largely something that they use to predate against parents in child disputes. I think that's probably what those are, but our phones are always going off with these stupid Amber alerts. And I mean, UK.
Wait, what? What about the parents and the children with Amber alerts?
I don't think that every time you get an Amber alert on your phone, that it means some guy in a van pulled up next to a kid and nabbed him off the street. I think what it usually means is there's a domestic dispute between parents or guardians over a child, or oftentimes maybe a child's in a dangerous situation, but they're legally stuck there and another parent will go and try to rescue them. I'm sure there's, you know, I'm sure there's all flavors of this kind of thing happening, but I have a feeling that like CPS is behind this and we know that CPS is evil and they like to steal children. So there's that.
Remind me of that. I hate that part of life.
It's a gross topic.
Especially when you have a kid, that is so unnerving. you know, the interesting thing about this is, you know, the fact that it goes on everybody's phone, you know, everybody's on their phone all the time anyway, you know, that it would be like a disconcerting sound. I haven't heard it. Ruckus has. I believe him when he says it's unnerving. So that is invasive. Does it really need to be like this unnerving sound? I mean, send a text to everybody. It's like, who's not on their phone 24/7 staring at that screen all the time? And like, really, you need to like make some kind of bizarre sound. That would be passable enough. But the part that Ruckus said that's the most unnerving is that if you don't respond to it, some kind of trouble, or that you're, yeah, that there's a force, you're forced to respond. That's the part where it's like, how can you blame a conspiracy theorist at that point?
What if, right, you have a rotary phone or a flip phone?
You don't get the alert, bro.
Do you just have to pay the fine because your tech is old?
Yeah, that's right. It's like health insurance.
No, ridiculous. That's authoritarian garbage. They're going to steal your money because you won't text them back or acknowledge their stupid message. No, absolutely. People should be in the streets.
Yeah, talk about a toxic relationship. It's like, imagine you're in a relationship with somebody that finds you if you don't text back. I mean, it's like that we've been sort of comparing this new turn of government overreach to toxic relationships. This is taking it to the next level.
Well, look what happened. It was in Australia, I think, or it might have been New Zealand. No, I'm pretty sure it was in Australia where they did the contact tracing app, and if you got dinged as, hey, you've got it, you're around somebody who's sick, you can't leave your house. You had to, like, they would ding you with something and you had to respond, otherwise the cops would show up at your house. So that's where I think a lot of actual real concern comes in with stuff like this, because how would a system like this be implemented in a pandemic setting? See, we already had a system like that here, and some other countries already have something similar, right, if I'm not mistaken. But we didn't. They didn't use that. Could you imagine if every day you got an alert like, 1,000 people caught COVID today? Like, every day you'd be getting that annoying, like, it's the end of the world, jarring nerve. They picked those noises on purpose, by the way. I did. I saw a documentary years ago about that specific tone in the America's emergency alert system. There's a reason it makes us feel the way it does when we hear it. There's some science behind that. I'm sure it's similar with the UK one. So I can imagine people in the UK are like, hold on a second. Look at how much overreach you guys did during the pandemic. I'm not so sure I'm down for this. So, yeah, again, I would be skeptical about all of it, man.
Yeah, my first guest tonight, Christina Hutcherson, was talking about vector hazards and Bank of America implementing, like, the banks having systems like this in place that can, you know, if you're deemed a hazard, they can freeze your accounts and make it impossible for you to do anything. And she's saying this stuff is on the way, and it's a real danger. I mean, so this kind of seems like the weird cousin of that, right?
The precursor to the Mark of the Beast system, Joseph.
Right.
Yeah, they're talking about new bank codes for firearm purchases. You know, they're having trouble implementing it because it's easier said than done, but they are looking at how to do that. There are things that people buy that they want to track now. And if you go to the bank and you try to pull out any amount of cash, there's this weird chat down process they do to people now. That they didn't used to do, at least not as aggressively as they do these days. It's, you know, and then we've got all this instability in the Fed. They just upped the rates again, another quarter of a percentage point, as all these banks are hurting. And I'm seeing people worried about Deutsche Bank now. Credit Suisse gone down, SVB and First Signature. So, you know, it's... You know, I don't know. Talk about threat vectors. I'd say the whole banking system is a threat vector to the rest of us. They shouldn't be worried about threat vectors in society. They should be worried about hedging their stupid bets, you know, with everybody's money. This is absolutely ridiculous. And the government's just, they're ready to write them blank checks because they're too big to fail.
And people are pulling out all kinds of cash because they're assuming that bank systems are going to fail soon. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess, fellas. I don't know. You know, I mean, yeah, we're obviously not going to solve the problem on this episode because there's only 2 minutes left. If that, I mean, how are we going to take this one out, guys? How are we going to elevate people into feeling good in the weekend? It's a celebration, life, love, happiness. Don't worry about all this stuff. Hang on, hang on, hang on. It's worth it. Give us a message, Ruckus, and then you, Hesher. Hesher, go first.
All right, yeah. Well, Ruckus usually gets the final word. I don't want to break that tradition here. Yeah. I will recommend the song Test by a band called Prong, and I will recommend the song Sentient Six by a band called Nevermore, and you will know why those relate to tonight's conversations. Thanks, Joseph.
Sweet, Brian. Hesher McClain, thank you so much for coming on, Hesher. Thank you. Ruckus, take us out.
Don't be negative, everyone. Once you replace negative thoughts with positive ones, you'll start having positive results. God bless you guys.
That was nice. I'm gonna take that on the chin, man. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend and keep listening to TNT. See you next week. Bye.